RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Headlines, Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. RRI's broadcasting expected to reach international community uncovered by media. President Joko Widodo on state visit to three countries in the Middle East. West Nusa Tenggara invites Italy to develop Mandalika Economic Zone. Now the news in details. On the 17th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia, RRI, it is expected to give information for international communities. Founder of Honeybee Network as Humanitarian Institute and Media Observer in India, Anil Gupta to RRI said that there are many regions in the world that have not been covered by media.
I wish your radio would be able to reach the unreached communities in the... There are 16,000 islands and there are many communities which are not yet covered both by media and by educational system. So I hope that you will make effort to reach them so that nobody remains excluded from the fruits of development. That you will bring their voice into the mainstream so that their expectations, their aspirations are heard by the policymakers. We'll be very happy if you use the content NIF site for sharing with the local communities. We have no restriction, no objection in sharing every day. There are thousands of ideas.
Moreover, Anil Gupta expected RRI to call for peace for the world because many violences occur in the globe, especially in conflicting countries. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi is accompanying President Joko Widodo to make state visit to three countries in the Middle East, namely Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates and Qatar from 11 to 15 September 2015. The purpose of the state visit to the three Gulf states is to promote cooperation in various fields, among others in the fields of economy, energy, and protections of Indonesian citizens. It was stated by spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawanatsir, in a press conference at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Friday, September 11, 2015. Minister of Foreign Affairs was flying to Jeddah. She was there to accompany the President, who is making state visit to three Gulf countries, namely Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. The state visit will be 4 or 5 days from September 11 to 15. There are four objectives, namely to enhance economic cooperation, to enhance strategic partner cooperation, industrial engineering, protections of the Indonesian citizens, because the number of Indonesian citizens in those countries are more than 1.4 million people, and also the last one is for cooperation of Indonesia's energy security. Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawanatsir said Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates and Qatar are chosen as destinations of the President's state's visit as the gross domestic products of the three countries reach $1.6 trillion. In addition, according to Kristiawan Armanata Nasir, the three Gulf countries have 24% of the world oil reserves and 18% of the world gas reserves. The political situation is quite stable and they are among countries with Muslim majority population. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir added that the state visit will produce three agreements that will be agreed together, namely visa-free agreement with the government of Qatar for holders of official and diplomatic passports, cooperation with the governments of the United Arab Emirates related to human trafficking, as well as agreement to establish a strategic partnerships agreement. The Provincial Administration of West Nusa Tenggara has invited Italian investors to develop Mandalika Special Economic Zone in the central Lombok district. West Nusa Tenggara Governor TGH M. Zainul Majdi said, while speaking at the Indonesian Investment Day 2015 Forum, that the forum is very important for promotion as well as accelerating the development of the Mandalika Special Economic Zone. The Indonesia Investment Day 2015 event was attended by the Vice Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation of Italy and the Italian Trade Agency, ITA, with 200 members who are investors worldwide. Governor Zainul added that the event held in the city of Milan has strategic value because it can promote the potentials of investment opportunities in West Nusa Tenggara, particularly in the Mandalika Special Economic Zone. Meanwhile, the head of the Investment Coordinating Board and the Integrated Licensing of West Nusa Tenggara, Ridwan Shah, explained that various sectors such as tourism, trade, industry, and real estate could attract potential investment from the Italian and European investors, saying that the European countries have invested around $90.6 million in the first half of 2015, and most of it coming from Italy, the Netherlands, France, England, Germany, Belgium, and others. President Joko Widodo has pledged to follow up on the proposals to develop Loksemawe Special Economic Zone to promote economic growth in Indonesia's westernmost province of Aceh. During his stopover on Friday in Aceh on his way to visit the Middle East countries, President Joko Widodo said that he has participated in the discussions with Aceh Governor Zaini Abdullah for transforming the Loksemawe industrial zones into a special economic zone. He also pointed out that the special economic zone proposals would be followed up to boost economic growth in the province. During the short visit, President Joko Widodo had discussed several issues including the special economic zone proposals and the plan to develop the Iskandar Muda Airport in Blang Bintang into an international transit airport. This news comes to you from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Ministry of Transportation has agreed on a plan to develop an airport on the island of Adonara in the district of East Flores in eastern East Nusa Tenggara province. Richard Jami, the head of the regional office of the Ministry of Transportation, noted on Friday that the work may be started in 2016 if no problem is encountered. He gave the statement to Antara when contacted from Jakarta after presenting the result of a survey on three prospective locations identified for the development of the airport. He remarked that the Transportation Ministry would immediately issue the principal permit for the Adonara Airport project. For preparing the master plan and environmental impact analysis report, Jami's office had already proposed to allocate funds in the East Nusa Tenggara revised budget for 2015. Speaking in connection with the environmental impact analysis report, he affirmed that construction could be started while the analysis is still being carried out. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI has said two rare native flower species from the Sumatran forest, Rafflesia and Amorphophallus, have become endangered due to habitat conversion done for various purposes. Deputy for Life Sciences Eni Sudarmonowati said on Friday that the two rare flower species had to be preserved by all parties, including researchers, governments, and the community. The endangered status of the two rare species will be highlighted at the International Symposium of Rafflesia arnoldi and Amorphophallus titanum, which will be organized by LIPI in Bengkulu from September 14 to 16, 2016. Sudarmonowati remarked that the endangered flora indicated that changes have been taking place in the Sumatra forest, particularly Bengkulu, the native habitat of the flowers. More airports are being affected by the haze in Indonesia as flights continue to be disrupted. Head of the Public Communications Center at the Ministry of Transportation, J.A. Barata, said in a written statement on Friday that the number of airports affected by the haze from land fires had risen to 21 on Friday from 16 on Thursday. He said the five airports that were affected by the haze were the airports in Nangah Pinoh, West Kalimantan, Palembang, Sumatra, Pekanbaru, Sumatra, and Balikpapan, Kalimantan. Other similar airports are in Melak, East Kalimantan, Pangkalan Bun, Central Kalimantan, Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan, Pontianak, West Kalimantan, Jambi, Sumatra, Sampit, Central Kalimantan, Putu Sibau, West Kalimantan, Samarinda, East Kalimantan, Sintang, West Kalimantan, Ketapang, West Kalimantan, Long Apung, North Kalimantan, Sampir, Muara Teweh, and Palangkaraya, all in Kalimantan provinces. Barata also said cancellations and delays had also been reported at the Samsudin Nur Airport in Banjarmasin, Kalimantan. A total of 13 flights at the airport have been delayed and 2 cancelled. International radio service is important for Indonesia to be able to play its role in the region. This was conveyed by an Australian broadcaster and journalist, Rebecca Henske, in Jakarta on Friday. According to Rebecca, Indonesia is one of important countries in the world in the fields of economy, environment and population. Unfortunately, sometimes its voice is not heard enough in global politics.
And I think it's important to have international radio so that other countries can learn about each other and they can hear a different voice. So it's not just the voice of America or England through the BBC, but you're also hearing different viewpoints from different countries like Indonesia or Asia, other countries. And I think that's very important. And I think it's important that Indonesia has international service, particularly as it wants to play a bigger role in being a regional player in Indonesia economically and in terms of population, in terms of its diverse environment, is a very important country in the world. But at the moment, its voice is not heard enough in the kind of global politics.
Rebecca also said it is important for a country to have an international radio service. Through the service, listeners abroad can learn many things and hear from the other side, not only from the Voice of America and BBC, but also from Indonesia or Asia. Rebecca added, amid the powers of television and online media, radio must find new ways to attract listeners. Radio can take advantage of the internet by providing services such as internet radio or radio on demand. Related to the strategy that the international broadcast radio should do, Rebecca said, the strategy is still the same as it has been done before. The content or the radio program made should be dynamic, interesting, and beneficial for the listener. Listener, that was the news from RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the week press review. A variety of important events occurred this week are summarized in the week press review compiled from several newspapers published in the capital Jakarta. We begin with Republika newspaper. In its editorial, the daily writes, "Not enough package policy is not enough. The current world economic growth is slowing down. So is the economy of Indonesia. For that reason, the government has announced a policy package that is expected to overcome the Indonesian economic downturn. This policy package is referred to as the first package to be followed by another economic policy package. This first package outlines 3 points of policy aimed at pushing the industry pace. The package is to encourage national industrial competitiveness by executing deregulation and the debureaucratization program, plus law enforcement efforts to realize business certainty. Then the government will accelerate the national strategic projects by eliminating various obstacles and blockages in the implementation and completion of national strategic projects." According to this daily, as once stated by the director of Bank Mandiri, Budi G. Sedikin, the problem of economic slowdown is not just merely technical financial issues. It is driven by psychological problems. Therefore, the market is in need of guarantees and certainty on the direction of national economic development. The economic policy packages issued by the government, according to Republika, have given a hope for a breakthrough to resolve the situation. However, economic policy alone will not be enough if it is not accompanied by a political gesture on the government to pacify economic actors. The next press review is from Tempo newspaper, which in its editorial writes, "Routine war against haze. Every dry season in Sumatra and Kalimantan, it can be certain there are hot spots which result in forest fire. After reviewing the forest fires in southern Sumatra, President Joko Widodo is not wrong to say he will not talk about the causes and solution of forest fires. According to the president, all already know what to do." Koran Tempo said the statement should become the attention of all parties, especially law enforcement. "Police must immediately investigate and imprison the mastermind of forest fires. A firm step is very necessary because every year the same problem recurs. Every dry season, most areas of Sumatra and Kalimantan are always exposed to the smoke. Government officials then would be busy counting the hundreds of hotspots in the two regions. The impact is the same, namely the disruption of activities of the population, including children who wanted to go to school, until delays in flight schedules. The problem is, why those who burn the forest never get any deterrent effect? The answer, of course, lies in the quality of the action. Suspects arrested are generally actors in the field. The punishment is not too heavy. The owner of the company got away. This is what makes them never become deterrent. According to Koran Tempo, only with firm steps there will be a great hope that next year all the parties are no longer busy counting hotspots. Because with a firm stand, the government does not need to throw out the budget to cope with the smoke from the forest fires. We end the week press review with Media Indonesia newspaper. This newspaper writes, "The presence of the state to awaken sports. Sport is probably the most honest nation's identity. Through sport, we can see the physical toughness, mentality, cognitive solidarity until the sportsmanship of a nation. Sports can also be a source of energy. Sporting achievement would raise the prestige in the eyes of other nations, also boost nationalism in the country. Not surprisingly, many countries are seriously working on the branches of the sports. This is not only for rich countries, but also developing countries and even many small countries. Economic progress, though takes effect, is clearly not a determinant of performance in sports. According to Media Indonesia, the individual determination and attention of the state that makes the glory of sport can be present. Unfortunately, the second factor that has been long forgotten in Indonesia. As a result, Indonesia, which decades ago was a respected state in some sport, is now, even in Southeast Asia, just limping along. Therefore, it is time for the state to be back for the sport. The current government must demonstrate its presence in raising achievement in all sports. The efforts of the Minister of Youth and Sports, Imam Nahrawi, in overcoming the problem in Indonesian football is the first step that should be appreciated. The position of Indonesia as the host of 2018 Asian Games requires fast sports revival. More than that, of course, the glory of sport can only be generated if the sport becomes a part of life. According to Media Indonesia, sports achievement is not to be learned instantly. Therefore, reform must begin now. That was the Week Press Review. From Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasi.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRWL service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on September 12, 1974, when military coup in Ethiopia overthrew Emperor Haile Selassie. The 1960 Ethiopian coup was a coup d'etat staged in Ethiopia on December 13, 1960. Its goal was to overthrow Emperor Haile Selassie, who was on a state visit to Brazil at the time. Four conspirators led by Germame Nevai and his older brother, Brigadier General Mengistu Nevai, who was commander of the Kabur Zabangna, the imperial bodyguard, took several ministers and other important personages hostage and gained control of most of Addis Ababa, the capital of Ethiopia. The coup leaders declared the regime of Haile Selassie had been deposed and announced the beginning of a new, more progressive government under the rule of Haile Selassie's eldest son, Crown Prince Asfaw Wosun, that would address the numerous economic and social problems Ethiopia faced. Despite a demonstration of support by students of Haile Selassie University, the other military units remained loyal to Selassie and crushed the coup. By December 17, loyalists had regained control of Addis Ababa and the conspirators were either dead or had fled the capital. The coup attempt is considered the most serious threat to Haile Selassie's rule between 1941 and his deposition in 1974 during the Ethiopian Revolution. And the next event was in 1984 when the Tanjung Priok massacre occurred. The Tanjung Priok massacre was an incident that occurred in the port area of Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta, Indonesia, in 1984. Government reports gave a total of 24 people were killed and 54 others injured, while the survivors were over 100 of people. This incident was triggered by the new order government order to all non-governmental organizations in Indonesia to have a single principle of ideology, namely Pancasila, but it was criticized by some communities, which rose conflict at a mosque between the authorities and local residents, which eventually sparked the riots. And the last event was in 2005 when Israel withdrew its troops from Gaza. The Israeli disengagement from Gaza, also known as Gaza expulsion and Hitnakut, was the withdrawal of the Israeli army from Gaza and the dismantling of all Israeli settlements in the Gaza Strip in 2005. Four small settlements in the northern West Bank were also evacuated. The disengagement was proposed by Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, adopted by the government on June 6, 2004, and enacted in August 2005. Those Israeli citizens who refuse to accept government compensation packages and voluntarily vacate their homes prior to the August 15, 2005 deadline were evicted by Israeli security forces over a period of several days. The eviction of all residents, demolition of the residential buildings, and evacuation of associated security personnel from the Gaza Strip was completed by September 12, 2005. The eviction and dismantlement of the four settlements in the northern West Bank was completed 10 days later. And listeners, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. The focus today is on President announced first phase of economic policy package. President Joko Widodo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday announced economic policy package. This policy was taken as a precaution in response to the economic downturn in line with the weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar. President Joko Widodo explained that there are three steps in the economic policy package. First, re-regulation, de-bureaucratization, as well as the law enforcement and business certainty to encourage national competitiveness. For example, the government plans to deregulate 89 rules of 154 rules that are currently being studied. The second step is to accelerate the national strategic projects by eliminating various obstacles in its implementation. Among other measures, simplification of permits, special and land supply, accelerating the procurement of government goods and services. The third step, to increase investment in the property sector by encouraging the construction of housing for low-income people. The government also opened a larger investment opportunities in this sector. The president added the government is committed to resolve all of this regulation package in September and October 2015. Chairman of Indonesian Employers Association, Haryadi Sukamdhani, expected economic policy package that will not cause new problems. Deregulation, alias removal of restriction and regulations, are expected to be actually able to boost economic growth. Besides deregulation, the government is also expected to relax fiscal policy. Furthermore, the government efforts are expected to increase import substitution. Haryadi said the current domestic market should be maintained so that the domestic industry can work well and are able to compete with foreign industry. Meanwhile, Acting Chief Executive of the Deposit Insurance Agency, Iksan, stated the economic policy package indicates the presence of the government amid fears of market participants. Awasi said that at a time like this, the government needs to reassure investors by way of presence in the market through a package of measures. He considered at this point a package of measures could stabilize the uncertain situation because the stabilization of market participants can avoid panic. Well, that was the focus today on President's announced the first phase of economic policy package.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The Provincial Administration of West Nusa Tenggara has invited Italian investors to develop Mandalika Special Economic Zone in the central Lombok district. President Joko Widodo has pledged to follow up the proposals to develop Lok Sumawe Special Economic Zone to promote economic growth in Indonesia's westernmost province of Aceh. Indonesian Ministry of Transportation has agreed on a plan to develop an airport on the island of Adonara in the district of East Flores in eastern East Nusa Tenggara province. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI has said two rare native flower species from the Sumatran forest, Rafflesia and Amorphophallus, have become endangered due to habitat conversion done for various purposes. More airports are being affected by the haze in Indonesia as flights continue to be disrupted. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI's World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Selayar Island in South Sulawesi Province, so stay tuned. Listener, Sulawesi has a lot of marine biota and also tourism objects. One of them is Selayar Island. Selayar Island is a small island located in Selayar Regency, South Sulawesi Province, with the capital city, Kota Benteng. To go to Selayar Island takes around 10 hours from Makassar, the capital city of South Sulawesi Province. Listener, on Selayar Island, you will see a unique historical stuff such as giant anchor at Padang Beach. The anchor was from Chinese big ship which visited Selayar Island. There is also another historical stuff, namely Nekara from Bronze period. Nekara has a shape like a gong with pictures of star, elephant, coconut tree, fish, frog, hero, and peacock. Listener, on Selayar Island, you will see people's life and culture at Padang Beach. At the beach, you will see all activities of fishermen, starting from preparation to go to the sea to catch the fish until how to process the sea products. On Selayar Island, you can also see a uniqueness at Toa Bitombang Hamlet, the oldest hamlet on the island. The uniqueness of this hamlet is bamboo roof house with high wood pillar, so that the distance of the house and the land surface is quite high. Because the land is not flat, so sometimes in front of the house there is 2 until 3 meter high pillar and 13 until 15 meter wide back of the house has high pillar. These pillars use from BT or Holasa wood, which have good quality. That's why the house at this hamlet are still sturdy, although it is already hundreds of years old. Another uniqueness of this hamlet is its villages, whose age are above 90 years old but still productive. are on Selayar Island and want to come to the beach, Selayar Island has also beaches with smooth white sand, such as Pamatata Beach, Tanaira Beach, Lansangirang Beach, Taloia Beach, Pabalilang Beach, Rampang-Rampangan Beach, or Labuang Nipaya Beach. Not only beach, Selayar Island has also beautiful undersea panorama at Taka Bonerate National Park. At the park, there is 220,000 hectare wide atoll coral and the third biggest atoll in Southeast Asia. Listen to the beauty of the beach, the sea and the building, the culture, the people's activities and various uniqueness of the nature are enchantments of Selayar Island, which are interesting to be seen and enjoyed. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting place to visit. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany
on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Ms. Eleni with a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today's edition will be discussing the City Marathon Festival, or better known as the Mandiri Jakarta Marathon. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Running is one of the easiest exercises that can be done by everyone. This is the reason why Jakarta Marathon Festival is held every year in the capital. Unlike in the previous years, this year support from various parties came for the event known as the 3rd Mandiri Jakarta Marathon. The international scale event will be held on Sunday, October the 25th. The start and finish location remain the same, namely in the area of Silang Monas, Jakarta. Jakarta Marathon will compete the same category with the previous years, namely full marathon, half marathon, and marathons for children sprint. In a press conference held on Wednesday, September the 9th, in Jakarta, Mandiri Jakarta City Marathon founder Endang Muhadi stated, "The 3rd Mandiri Jakarta Marathon in 2015, alhamdulillah, is consistently held on the last Sunday of October. So if the first was on October the 27th, the second is on the 26th, and God willing, this year we've set on October 25th. And for the next 2 years, we have also registered it to the International Association of Athletic Federations, that the Jakarta Marathon will always be held at the last Sunday of October." The Jakarta Marathon is not only followed by professionals, but also by amateur runners. It takes a good preparation to run a marathon. To ensure that all participants are in a good condition to run a marathon, one of the sponsors of the event, Daniel Peter, said, "Our mission is that we want to educate the runners to run safely, so we see from the start that they are prepared, starting from their gears, their nutrition, until their hydration. We want them to pay attention to that." The Ministry of Tourism, Jakarta Provincial Government, in cooperation with the Indonesian Athletics Association, or PASI, and Inspiro, are organizing this marathon, followed by Indonesian as well as foreign professional runners. Mrs. Tuti Mardiono, as the representatives of the Pasi explain.
PB Pasi sangat mendukung diadakannya Jakarta Marathon ini seperti 2 tahun yang lalu.
Pasi strongly support the holding of Jakarta Marathon just like 2 years ago. We can assist in the competition's technical field and invitation, particularly associated with elite runners, international and national runners. For elite runners, we invited them through agencies or representatives in the IAAF list so their achievements are guaranteed. The event is part of the Tourism 7 special interest, namely sports and recreation, being intensified by the Ministry of Tourism. Through Mandiri Jakarta Marathon 2015, Jakarta also will be a place for sports tourism destination that will live the best side of the city's elegance and heritage sites, combined with the grandeur of the buildings in metropolitan Jakarta. Well, that was Miss Eleni, which informed you about the Festival City Marathon. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Steve, in the Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Fia. But before knowing more about Fia, to initiate the Music Corner for today, why don't we listen to a song entitled Ada Rindu Ada Cemburu. Enjoy the song.
Sejak pertemuan itu, wajahmu selalu mengganggu. Senyummu menggoda kalbu, masih terasa hangat tatapmu. Kau jadi
berpisah, ah, ah, iya.
Voice listener, that was the first song from Fia, entitled Ada Rindu, Ada Cemburu. Fitria Anggraini, or usually called Fia, was born in Jakarta on 12 February 1984. Her first album was Ada Rindu, Ada Cemburu, released in 2008. Together with Tere, Fia established Tinker Bell and released a single called Nol Besar or Big Zero. Fia exists in Indonesian music industry because she wants to emphasize her character as a singer who is also able to play guitar. An album entitled Ada Rindu Ada Cemburu was a new experience for Fia in the Indonesian music industry. Fia, who created all song melody, collaborated with a musician, Slamet Widodo, who was invited as the lyric writer of her songs. Voice listener, let's listen to a second song from Fia entitled CLBK. Enjoy the song.
Kita pernah saling cinta, ada aku, ada kamu. Karena terlalu cemburu, ku tinggalkanlah cintamu. Ku menyesali hancur hatiku, hatimu. Kau memang tak bersalah, aku tak mau kalah. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah dilupa, teringat lagi. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah terkubur hidup lagi. Lama kita telah berpisah, kekasih telah berganti. Kita pernah mencinta, namun sudah melupakan. Ku menyesali hancur hatiku, hatimu. Kau memang tak bersalah, aku tak mau kalah. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah dilupa, teringat lagi. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah terkubur hidup lagi. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah dilupa, teringat lagi. Kenapa cinta lama bersemi kembali setelah terkubur hidup lagi.
Fia's hobby to write songs has attracted the attention of music observer Ben Sleo in 2004. Ben Sleo said that Fia is a singer who is capable to create songs and sing the songs. According to Ben, Fia's capability is a big asset to compete in the Indonesian music industry. Then in 2007, Ben invited Fia to make a recording. Fia hoped that her first album will be able to color Indonesian music world. She wants her music to be able to entertain and inspire all music lovers. Voice listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Fia, entitled Ciuman Pertama, or in English, means the first kiss, and Inikah Cinta, or Is It Love? Thank you very much for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Katanya datang tak terduga, oh, aduh, ciuman pertama akhirnya saatnya datang juga dengan kekasih yang kudamba. Aku harus bagaimana? Pokoknya rame deh rasanya, malam aku tidur tak bisa, oh, aduh-duh, ciuman pertama, jangan dengan siapa saja, berikanlah yang kamu cinta, semoga sama getar cinta. Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Mengapa wajahmu membuat pelita bergetar cahayanya? Sukmaku terenggut tanpa daya. Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Hatiku tercuri setelah sekian lama diriku sendiri. Kini ku temukan cinta sejati. Semoga bukan mimpi, mimpi. Mengapa ku cekap rinduku, tetapi kuasa ku pendam rasa tetap gelisah. Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Apakah ini namanya cinta? Hatiku tercuri setelah sekian lama diriku sendiri. Kini ku temukan cinta sejati. Semoga bukan mimpi, mimpi.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Aku sadari begitu sakitnya harus mencintaimu. Aku sadar betapa perihnya harus menyayangimu. Selamanya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.